The cost of borrowing is falling right on cue. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Was that a certain reluctance we heard when the Federal Reserve dropped a key interest rate yesterday, the third quarter point drop this cycle? Let us check in with Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you say to yourself, so what's the downside of cutting and cutting a little more? I mean, one might be if there are bubbles inflating in the economy, because bubbles can pop.
That's exactly right, and that's why there are so many people pushing back, and we'll see that in the minutes of this Fed rate cut within the Fed system, the sort of splintered Fed that we have now, because there are those who are worried that we're stoking bubbles in the corporate debt market. That certainly came up yesterday in the conversation as something that Powell said he is monitoring, and, you know, the broader bubbles in private equity, commercial real estate, and then ultimately, do we get a stock market bubble out of this as well?
All right. So we have the Fed, and tomorrow the big employment and unemployment report of the month. It'll be for October. What are you thinking?
Might be a little employment number, well below 100,000, because that GM strike is going to take a toll, and we're only generating a little over 100,000 jobs a month. So when you hit 50,000 off the top, and then the spillover effects of the strike, you get a much weaker number as we go into October. That will come out, but it's going to take a long time, well into the first quarter, to recoup all the production losses we suffered to that GM strike. Also, some census workers are rolling off some temporary jobs. All of that's making the number going to look a lot weaker after the Fed made this cut this month.
That's the chief economist of Grant Thornton, Diane Swonk in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's stay with the Fed marketplaces. Nancy Marshall-Genzer was at Chairman Powell's briefing where there was a suggestion the central bankers may be done lowering rates for now, unless marketplaces Nancy Marshall-Genzer was at the briefing. Unless what, Nancy?
Well, David, the Fed is keeping its eye on the trade talks between the U.S. and China, but Fed Chair Jay Powell says if the trade war escalates, that doesn't automatically mean the Fed will cut interest rates. It's also watching things like economic growth, unemployment, and inflation.
Mr. Powell is also keeping an eye on a huge market for quick-in, quick-out loans. Remind me about this stumbling repo market, it's called.
Right. This is an overnight lending market where banks go to borrow money from each other. And rates on the repo market spiked last month when there was a cash crunch. The Fed had to help out to bring those rates down, make sure the repo system worked smoothly, make sure there's enough cash liquidity to go around. Powell says the Fed will continue to do that and look into other ways to help.
There are just a few technical things that we can look at that would perhaps make the liquidity that we have, which we think is ample in the financial system, move more freely and be more liquid, if you will.
Now, banks are required to keep a certain level of reserves on hand. I asked Powell if that was gumming up the works, if the Fed was thinking about changing that level. He said no.
Nancy, thank you. Now, right up there with Bayer's decision to pay $63 billion to buy the Roundup-burdened company Monsanto, maybe the tobacco company Altria's decision to buy a big stake in the vaping company Juul. Wall Street Journal this morning reported that Altria is writing down the value of its Juul Labs holdings by $4.5 billion, simply erased, as health regulators take a closer look at this whole idea of devices that vaporize material to be inhaled into the lungs. This was supposed to be the big Brexit day, the day British Prime Minister Boris Johnson had said Britain would leave the European Union for sure, or in his words, do or die, come what may. Britain on this 31st of October, let me look. Yep, there it is, still in the EU, perhaps for another 3 months, but who knows. For months, businesses large and small there have been preparing for what would have been Brexit Day. Here's the BBC's Victoria Craig.
Tucked away on an industrial street in the East London neighborhood of Hackney is a shop called Isle of Olive. Inside, patrons are encouraged to relax as they nibble on specialties like Greek olives or browse shelves stacked with imported oils, wines, and dried herbs. In the back, though, it's a different atmosphere. The shop's owner, Greg Vitsis, is still worrying about Brexit.
We're 100% reliant on trading with the EU. I mean, our whole business has been based on that.
That's because since the company started back in 2013, it has only sold products from Greece. But 6 years later, Mr. Vaitsis is experiencing deja vu.
After the relief that we got in 2015, when Greece came to the brink of having a Grexit, we're very, annoyed.
That's not the only feeling of history repeating itself, though. Since the 2016 referendum, the Brexit deadline has moved 3 times. And in the lead-up to each one, Mr. Vaitsis has stockpiled products in order to head off any supply disruptions in case the UK crashed out of the EU without a divorce deal. He's even had to raise prices on many of his goods.
There is a limit to the amount that we can stockpile, a limitation of storage. A lot of our items are perishable. When Christmas comes, we are always looking out for new interesting items. This year, we're going to put the brakes on that.
Ian Wright, boss of the UK's Food and Drink Federation, says that a delay, though, is preferable to the government's attempt to rush a deal through Parliament in just 3 days.
You wouldn't buy a house having had only a week's notice of what the terms look like. We want to see the government's economic impacts. We're very clear that we want to be in a customs union with the EU. We want to be as close as possible to the single market, and we want as much access to free movement of labour as is possible.
For Isle of Olives owner, clarity about what's next is the most important thing.
This climate of uncertainty has held us back in terms of investment, of looking into new ways of distributing or accessing different sorts of markets. The longer it takes, the worse it is.
The upside, though, Mr. Vaitsis says, the perpetual state of awareness that Brexit has required means Isle of Olive is as prepared as it's ever been for any outcome. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.